The meaning of father. He is synonymous with superhero. No costume or theme music. Still, our adjectives for him are larger than life. Showing us the bigger picture and life lessons, he is always framing us, preparing us, and sharing with us glimpses of our destiny. He is seer and visionary, prophet and teacher, though it will take us years to see what he was saying all along. Ah, so that's what my father meant.
Father, dad, uncle, brother, whichever name he goes by, his role remains unchanged. Problem solver, sprinkler of happiness and joy, he who brings laughter and smiles. These are some of his attributes. In times of need, he is there, and in times of struggle, he helps you up. Father, show us the way when there is no light.
This is what a father means to me. A father is a home, a place where you belong, a place that is strong. A father is love, someone who will always be there, who will always care. A father is a light in a world that is sometimes dark, a sign of hope, a sign of love, a sign of heart.
To me, a father is a man who guards you from danger. He supports you in whatever you do and loves you in every way. He is a man that leads you to be a success in life and demonstrates through his own example how to be a respectful individual and a great father to children you may have later on in life. Finally, an excellent father realizes that his children are human and that making mistakes is a part of growing up.
Sure, almost every male can produce a child, but will they be the father of this child? Fathers are generally the center of their children's well-being. They are capable caretakers and discipliners. They are usually what their sons wish to grow up to be and what their daughters hope to marry. They are leaders of their family, although with the occasional do as your mother says. They express tough love like no other.
He is the hero of the family, always thinking about me. He is always there when things are not going well. He provides for the family, and he is more than a friend to me. No one understands me but my father.
The meaning of father is endless, each word different, as he enters our lives in so many ways and saves our days time and time again. From broken heart to burned meal, tear-stained face to skinned knee, in the stands and on the field, first date, first shave, and first apartment. From the principal's office to graduation, he is by our side, cape tucked in, but his huge heart is always showing. We could not count the ways or the words that we could say. We simply offer three.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. And you will be healed. Speak all your to speak the word over yourself. Depression is all around, but God is His present help. All the enemy created walls, but remember giants, they do fall. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord.
Scripture for today is Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, which you can find on page 717 in your pew Bible. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. May God give us understanding of this, His holy word.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And happy Father's Day. I hope you all are well, and it's good to see everyone here this morning. Today's Youth Sunday, so we're going to try something different. I'd like for you all to be really involved during the sermon, and I hope that you feel comfortable to express yourself as much as possible and just let the Lord's Spirit work through you.
Yes.
I'd like to begin with a question. How many of you think that you're a good driver? Some driving history might say otherwise. You know, Jesus was a good driver. He drove out doubt, drove out demons, and drove out the path to new life, as told in John 14:6. Today, our theme for this Youth Sunday centers all around owning your destiny and taking charge of the path we are driving out for our own lives while still giving God full control. Taking charge while still giving God full control. I'd like to talk about what that means. So why is it important to trust God? Psalm 119, verses 71 to 75 teaches us of the importance of remaining faithful to God, even in the most troubling times. And we are going through very hard times as a church and as a nation, which can cause great doubt. But why does this matter? God is omniscient. Unlike us, God knows everything about everything that was and is to be. If we put more trust in ourselves than in God, if we doubt God's judgment more than our own, we could very well be unknowingly and confidently driving ourselves further down a path which we do not belong and might not realize it before we crash. God's only desire is the best for us, as proven through the creation story and time again throughout the Bible. So we should not be fearful to be faithful. What better to drive the life of anyone than a life in Christ anyway? Are you still doubtful? What if you're thinking, Jesus is a good driver, but I'm a better one? Or Jesus just doesn't know how to drive the kind of car, my kind of situation right now better than I can? Or what if you think Jesus isn't a good driver at all and that kind of stuff just isn't for me? John 3:16 is one of my favorite verses and one that is repeated over and over among believers around the world. It tells us that God loves everyone in equal, unlimited measure, and God's love is for everyone. But what about God's will? How can I take ownership of my life yet still follow God's will? What if doing what God wants could put you in an uncomfortable or temporarily unhappy situation? Or what if you just don't know? Life can be very challenging as both people and Christians. We all face many struggles and responsibilities which can seem more urgent to take care of to get us where we want to be. But I'll ask you something to reflect upon. More urgent than what? We want to wait until we are ready to truly immerse ourselves and follow God or make consistent efforts, but waiting for what? God has granted us free will out of pure love, and if we are to truly be successful, to truly reach the greatest destination, we must use our free will to give control and trust to God. Use our free will to give God control, because there is no true good direction without Christ.
God has a plan for you. He has a plan for everyone, and he will use whoever he wants to get it done, whether you want to be used or not. He used Moses, he used Paul, he used Jesus, he's using me, he's using you. I'd like to think of your destiny as being the destination. Funny how those words are similar. I think of God's plan as the roadmap to that destination, with the Holy Spirit being your GPS. But you need a good faith to get a good signal. Without it, it's easy to get lost or misled. Most of us can probably relate, as most of us lose a signal from time to time. It's part of what makes us human. But Jeremiah says, God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I feel that it is very easy to forget that the plan is not to harm you. It is very easy to feel like you have a better handle on things. And when you try to take the wheel, you better believe God is going to remind you who's really in control here. Getting to this destination is a journey, a lifelong journey. And sometimes you will make a wrong turn or stop moving forward altogether. And sometimes those rough times in life or opportunities coming your way are God's way of saying, no, turn this way, or get up, you've got this. Moving forward in this journey requires two big things, faith and effort, not one or the other. For example, most know the story with Peter in the storm and Jesus walking on water. Peter stepped out, took a step or two, then sank. Did God plan for him to drown in that water? No, Peter would be an essential role in expanding the church and be an incredible witness. Peter put in the effort by stepping, but he didn't have the faith, and he sunk. You can work and work, but without faith, it is very easy to get lost. On the other hand, I've heard many stories of people doing nothing and putting in no effort because God will take care of it, or I've been praying on this. While I do believe that prayer is very powerful, taking a seat on this journey and expecting God to push you to that destination is very unrealistic. You have to walk out on faith. I saw a great series of clips while, yes, scrolling through Facebook that I think really shows what I mean by this. There was a man standing on the edge of a cliff, and there was a cliff a bit too far away from him, and he needed to get to the other side because the cliff beneath him was crumbling beneath him. So the man called out, "God, help me get across." And God said, "Jump." The man looked down. He saw nothing but clouds. He was so high up, he couldn't see what was beneath the clouds. The man looked up and shouted again, "Don't you know I can't jump that far? Couldn't you give me a ladder, a bridge or something?" God said, "Jump." Right after God said jump, the cliff beneath the man just completely collapsed. With worry and concern on his face, he jumped and disappeared into the clouds. Then the clouds cleared. The man had landed on a platform with stairs leading right to the other side. It's safe to say a lot of us have been in this man's position. We've been at point A and wanted to get to point B, and sometimes God's way isn't all that appealing. Sometimes it's easier to say, thanks for the suggestion and all, God, but I'll find a better way. That's lack of faith speaking. Even the greatest disciples lacked faith once in a while. I feel that these lapses are completely normal. But Jeremiah tells us that his plans are not to harm us. He has shown that to us time and time again in the Bible. The scripture for today tells us his intentions from the start. And if we know anything about God, is that he is consistent with his word and has never taken it back. Unlike people. Sometimes people can mislead you, claiming they can tell you how to get from point A to point B in a way that's probably more appealing. But earlier in the same chapter, Jeremiah says, Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Not only can people be wrong, but they can be fickle. When the path shown in front of you merely appears to be easier, and the other path appears to be more difficult, but it's where God is pointing, it's obviously easier to make the simpler decision, but that does not mean it's the better one. It takes faith and courage, but it's very possible. When the decision seems tough, once again, the words come to mind, the plan is not to harm you. Which is a reminder, in the end, it's going to be okay. After all, in Romans, it says, if God is for you, who can be against you? But that's what it means to own your destiny. It means putting in that effort to get to your destination. It means trusting that no matter what happens along the way, you will get where you are destined to be. Nobody said it would be easy, though. Faith isn't easy. We've seen lots of people in the Bible struggle with faith, including Peter and Moses, who were previously mentioned. I feel as humans we have difficulty putting so much faith in something because this world is so fickle and it's always changing. But God isn't human. God isn't of this world. He made it. Don't you think he may know how it works? I don't know about you, but if I had to choose someone to pick my destination and guide me through this crazy and unpredictable world, I'd choose the one who made it. I'm pretty sure he knows the ropes. The road God paved may not be smooth. Nobody said the path to your destination would be a smooth ride. And in many ways, that's a good thing. We may not see it in the midst of a storm, but I feel like the failures, struggles, and trials are all there not to hurt you, but to mold you. Jeremiah chapter 18 says, he is the potter and I'm the clay. That interview didn't get, that rejection letter, that injury, are all smaller parts to the bigger picture. I have another analogy for you. In case you don't know, I plan on applying to veterinary school next fall, and something veterinary schools really like, besides unrealistically perfect grades, are experiences working with a veterinarian. I'm working with a vet this summer in Crofton, and the vet there is taking a lot of time there to show me the works. And a few weeks ago, she was telling me the difference between an x-ray and an ultrasound. She told me that the x-ray is the big picture and the overall landscape, and the ultrasound is thin, very detailed snapshots. That's when I asked, well, why don't you just use the ultrasound so you can get the detail you need? And she said, without the bigger picture, the ultrasound is next to impossible to interpret. I'd like to think that God has it all. He has the x-ray and the ultrasound, while we only have the ultrasound, specific detailed moments in life without the bigger picture. God is the one who has the x-ray. God is the one that has the bigger picture. Just like the vet said, without the big picture, it's really hard to interpret. We don't have the big picture, but we have to trust God because he knows what he's doing. We only see that interview we didn't get as opposed to the better opportunity that God sees coming, but you don't see yet. It always comes back to faith. We've seen what great faith can do in the Bible. It allowed one man to lead a whole people out of Egypt. It led to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what God is capable of. We know his intentions because Jeremiah tells us in today's scripture. We know what we have to do to start marching towards that destination God has made. Everything is in place. We just have to own our destiny.
Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful, Lord, for all of us being here today to worship and praise and study your word and your message. We thank you for all of our fathers and father figures and role models in our lives. You are, oh God, are our almighty Father, always filling us up with love. Please, God, give us the confidence and the strength and humility to leave our past behind and choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins, are without a church home, or would like to unite with fellowship through baptism or letter, then the invitation is to come to the front as the congregation stands to sing hymn number 493, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
No, it is 493.